Good morning, all. A phone call came through to the church office, and American voice on the end said, "I'd like to talk to the head hag at the trough." Is that acceptable? I won't do that ever again. You know I will. I'd like to talk to the head hog at the trough. And the receptionist was horrified and said, hold on. If you want to talk to our pastor, you can call him reverend or minister or pastor, but you cannot call him the head hog at the trough. And he said, "Oh, look, I'm sorry. I just came into all this money and I wanted to donate $100,000 to the building fund." To which he said, "I'm sorry, I just heard the door. I think the big pig is just walking in now." It's amazing how money changes things. If we're all of a sudden offering money, then all of a sudden people are like, "Yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir." There's an element where money dictates power and money dictates respect and honour. And that is not how it should be. In fact, Jesus spoke quite against that sort of thing. In Mark 12, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he said, "How dare you go around pushing your weight around, wearing your big fancy robes, mistreating widows, mistreating the poor, expecting to be treated with power and authority and honour? You don't deserve that. How dare you demand that?" And then Jesus sat down with his disciples, and in verse 41, he sat down opposite the treasury in the temple and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury and how many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amounted to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributions to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned and all she had to live on." At the temple, as people would go into the temple area, there was this big chest and this funnel. And so people, as they came in, would put their offering in there. And as they come in, the rich ones, they'd put lots of they didn't have paper money then, obviously. So they had all their coins and they dropped them, and you'd hear the rattle, bang, bang, smash, bang, 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 as it go down the funnel into the treasury. And they liked to be able to show their wealth and to show how generous they were. And Jesus looked at that and said, "You're showing off, you're not giving to God." And he pointed out this widow who quietly went up and put in two small coins. And what Jesus said to the disciples was that they gave out of their excess. They'd already spent what they wanted. They spent what they'd need. They'd paid all their bills. They'd had some fun with their money and they had some left over, and they put that in. Whereas this widow who had nothing put in all she had. And Jesus says, this is what giving is. Giving isn't just giving out of the excess about what's left over, but giving is giving out of what's first. And he referred to this widow as giving far more than all the wealthy people put together. Now, we don't like doing messages on money, and we kind of don't do a whole lot because it's not the right thing to talk about and it's a bit awkward. But the Bible talks about money over 2,000 times. That's more than love. It's more than anything else that's in the Bible. So God sees it as being important. And yet, being it's awkward to us, we don't talk about it, but it's important. Now, please note that we have already taken up the offering. This is not a manipulation to get more money out of you. Okay? This is basically saying, well, what's God saying to us? You know, I have no desire to sit here and go, you should give more, and walk around and say, let's have a third offering, let's have a fourth offering, there's not enough. That's not where I'm coming from. But I think if we're not doing as God's calling us to do, then we're misrepresenting God. Now, this is week 12 of spiritual disciplines. And so this is coming under the spiritual discipline. It's a discipline for us that as we walk with God, as we're trying to become more like Jesus, then there's disciplines we need to put in place. And generosity in serving God is a part of, serving each other, is a part of a discipline to become more like Jesus. Jesus talks a lot about money, so guess what? We are today as well. And unless you give your good offering on coming back next week, no. God calls us to be generous. God calls us to be cheerful givers. It's so often that we give out of what we think we should give more than out of what we want. So often we treat our money as so tight and so important that we're unwilling to share. There's so many people that like to tell stories of how hard everything is and how hard life is and how everything is so difficult and tough and how life is a sacrifice. There's people that have a martyr syndrome, a martyr where everything I do is a sacrifice. I'm sacrificing for everyone out there. All of my life is a sacrifice. And God's calling us to not be like that. God's calling us to be cheerful givers, to give out of a joy and give out of a knowledge of who He is and a thankfulness of giving back to Him. A pastor once said, never do something for someone if you're going to complain about it later. Only serve, give or do what you're willing to do happily without regret or complaining. It's a good lesson for us to learn. If we can't do it out of a cheerful heart, out of a desire to give, then why are we doing it? We have different ways of attaching words to people, to meaning. And I'm going to read out some words. And I want you not to shout out a name, not to speak it loudly, but to think, when I say this word, who do you attach a name to? Okay, so the first word is caring. No voices. Okay, it's not... When I say caring, who do you picture? How about selfish? What about generous? What about stingy? What about sacrificial? What about rude? What about cheerful? Out of those words, which word would you want to be associated to you? Because sometimes the word that is associated to us isn't the word that we'd like to be representing us. God's calling us to be cheerful, to be happy, to joyful, to be thankful, to be grateful. How often are we truly like that? When God talks about giving, He uses the word cheerful, and the word cheerful comes from the Greek of a word that means hilarious. God wants to give away hilariously. Picture that. It's not just a case of giving and putting in the offering and going, oh, that's good, which is better than most. But it's kind of like giving money away and going, that's funny. How do you feel about your money? Can you give it away hilariously? Because that's kind of what God's leaning into. God sees that we are kind of more stingy, more tight, more careful. What would it be like if we gave away hilariously? What if we just gave away just because it was fun? Because we can see God doing things. Wouldn't it be good if we could just be joyful about what we give? Because we do use money for joy. Who drinks coffee? It costs money, doesn't it? Is that joyful? Well, sometimes it's necessary to be polite to people. But who goes and watches movies? Who drives their car and puts fuel in it because they want to go for a drive, Brad? We spend money on things that we want to. We spend money on things that make us feel better. Why do all of a sudden, when it's God's kingdom and God's stuff, all of a sudden we put in the stingy basket, to put it in the grumpy basket? Wouldn't it be good if we could really see that our giving to God was something that gives us joy and gives us life? 2 Corinthians, Paul writing to the Corinthian church. The church wasn't a joyful giving church, but they were a giving church. And Paul wrote to them in chapter 9, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make grace abound to you, so that always having sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Paul's saying that as our giving is an investment. In the days of Jesus, people who were farming would take their crop at the end of the season, and they put some seed aside for next year, and the rest of the season harvest they would use for food or trade or whatever it might be. So imagine a farmer, and he's got this bag of seed that's for the next planting. And as we go through winter, he gets a bit hungry and he looks at this seed and says, "Oh, well, it won't matter, we'll eat it now, we're a bit hungry." That way, when the season comes to planting, there's no seed left. Rather than being able to see this seed as an investment in the next season, to be able to use that as important and vital for your longevity, you just eat it up now because of your initial need. Jesus is saying that our giving, what we give to God, is actually seeds which are planted that God multiplies into his kingdom. Our giving is important for the spread of the kingdom, for the building of the kingdom. Our giving is a part of what God needs and uses to be able to spread his word of truth and life and hope and healing to the world. It's not just Corinthians. Oop, wrong glasses. Sunglasses don't help. Galatians 6:7 talks about a man reaps what he sows. In Proverbs 11:24 says, "It is possible to give away and become richer. It is also possible to hold on too tightly and lose everything." Luke 6 says, Jesus says, "Give and it will be given to you, for by standard of measure it will be measured to you in return." God's saying that if we sow sparingly, we reap sparingly. If we sow generously, we reap generously. God's calling us not to be tight, not to be stingy, not to hold on to what we have just in case, but to be able to plant it and let it grow as God does his God stuff with the money, with the finances, with us as he can. So what's the purpose of giving? We read out of Psalm 50 before. The hills are his, the cattle are his, God has everything. You know what? God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need my money. God has all of the resources. When God asks us to give, it's got nothing to do with what he needs. So what is the reason for giving? The first thing is that giving glorifies God. When we put God before our money, when we give to those around us, when we give to God, it glorifies him. Our purpose is to glorify God. And if we're holding tightly onto our money, holding tightly onto our resources and not sharing it, then we're actually not glorifying God, we're glorifying ourselves. We glorify God by giving. We also, giving shows us that our hearts are with God. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." If we're not sharing our money, if we're not giving to God, then perhaps we're not worshipping God or honouring God as much as we think we should be or could be. God's calling us to put him first. And our generosity and our giving represents our generosity and our giving to God. 2 Corinthians 5 says, "For the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have sinned. And he who died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. God has died for us. God has gone before us. Jesus has shown us how to live. Is that represented in how we give? There's an old thing that, there's a thing that kids say, "You're not my boss." You ever heard that?
"You're not my boss. You can't tell me what to do."
Perhaps our lack of generosity is a reflection of that as well. Perhaps some of us are going to God, "You're not my boss. You can have this and this and this, but you can't have my money. You can't have that. I'm my boss. I control what I want. You can have the remnants. You can have the excess. You can have what's left over." As we give to God, we're acknowledging God's ownership. We're saying that God is our God. He is our ruler. He is our Lord. God goes before us. God is first. For some, that's a difficult thing to understand, because we don't want to have God as first. We need to have ourselves as first. We need to be able to see that I have control of my life and I have control of who I am and where I'm going. I have control of my future. There's a place where we need to step aside and allow God to do God things. Colossians 1:16 talks that everything belongs to him. Deuteronomy 10:14, "To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it." Psalm 50, as we read before, verse 10, "For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills." And again in verse 12, "The world is mine and all that is in it." In Haggai, it says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty." All of the resources on the earth are God's. Everything that we have is God's. In 1 Chronicles 29, "For everything in heaven and earth is yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all." We need to see that God owns all things and God owns us. And if God owns all things, then where does that leave us? That leaves us as stewards. We are stewards or managers of what God has. We have the resources as a steward of God. Instead of saying things like, "What do I want to buy? What can I do with my money?" Perhaps a better way of looking at it is saying, "Lord, what do you want me to do with your resources?" Perhaps we're so tight with the things that we have that we're not able to allow God to have the freedom to do what he wants to do through us, and to allow people to be blessed through us for him. 1 Timothy 6, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment." God wants to bless those around us. God wants to bless us. God is a God of blessing. And so often we don't allow that to happen. So we realize that we're a steward. And what happens sometimes is that we get burned. When we get burned, we can't become stingy. There are people who will try to rip us off. And as we're trying to do the right thing, we will sometimes get ripped off. We get phone calls at the office a few a week. "Can you help me? Can you help me?" And there's some people that you know, they don't really need it, but it's, and you help them for a little while and then say that's enough. But if we are only going to give where we think we're not going to get ripped off, then we're going to give nothing. Because how can I tell what a person's motivation is? Now, we need to be wise, but we also can't become stingy because of a bad experience. Luke 12 says, "Then Jesus said, 'Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own.'" What if it was a case of saying that if I get ripped off, then you're ripping off God, not me? Instead of saying that you're offending me, you're offending God. Let those consequences be as they may. There's a church in America called Cross Timbers Community Church in Texas. They had decided to test this a bit. So when they were taking up the offering, the pastor told the people, when the offering plate comes by, if you need some money, take it from the plate. The church gave away $500,000 in the first 2 months. They helped single mums, widows, the local missions, and families behind their utility bills. The day they announced the take from the plate offer, they received their largest offering ever. Sometimes we need to take that risk. Well, when I say risk, God's risk. But to be able to say, you know, I might get ripped off. I might get burned. And that's okay. Because it's still what God wants to do in his community. So why do we give? Giving blesses others. When we give, people are blessed. When I was in YWAM, we all communally had nothing. And we'd all get money coming in, sent in. And so we had pigeonholes, which all the mail came into. And every day at whatever time, 11 o'clock, whatever time it was, the mail would come in and be put in the pigeonholes. And you go down and see if you got any mail or if you got any money in the mail, more likely, question. And then what we'd watch is, like, because that'd be good. You get money and you go, this is really good. But what we did is that we took part of what we got and we gave it to others. So there'd be this continual giving cycle. And you'd know where you'd put money to who and stuff like that. So, you know, you'd get $1,000. No, you didn't. But, for example, you get $1,000 in a letter and you'd be pretty happy. But then out of that $1,000, you would have $100 in for someone else. And you'd be sneakily watching. And they'd open up and they'd get this $100 and they'd be so excited. And that $100, they'd pull $20 out of that and give it to someone else. And then they'd sit there and watch for that person. And I got this concept of what it is to be able to see other people being blessed. And how seeing other people blessed felt better than being blessed. That goes against our thinking, doesn't it? Because our thinking says, I want to be blessed. I like being blessed. But there's times where blessing others actually makes us feel so much better than being blessed ourselves. Luke 6:38 says, give and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. It will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it'll be measured to you. Now I want to point out that we don't give to be blessed. Don't hear this as being a promise that, you know, if you give, God will give more back, which I believe is biblical. But don't give because I want to earn more. It's not an investment program in that that's actually feeding all the negative of what this is. Being blessed is an outcome of blessing others, but it's not a reason to be blessing others. Does that make sense? God wants to bless us. God wants us to be a blessing, but he doesn't want us to be a blessing so that we are blessed and we're, because then we're really narked when it doesn't come when we expect it. God wants us to be a blessing out of gratefulness, out of gratitude, out of thankfulness. Be able to bless others because of God's goodness to us, not because of what we could get out of it. But we so often want that. When we give a gift to someone, aren't we inclined to expect a thank you in return? When we give advice to someone, aren't we disappointed if they ignore it or disagree with it? When we give precious time to someone, are we not frustrated? We feel it is wasted by them. We want our resources to be used well. We want to see that blessing bless people deeply. Matthew 6:1 says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So how is God asking us to be generous? I know that you all want me to say that 10% of your income should be given straight to the church. That's what you want me to say, isn't it? Oh, no one's committing to that one. You want to know how much they give in the Old Testament? When you look at all the sacrifices and all that goes through, they're probably around the 25%. So I expect everyone here to be giving 25% to the church. And I've done the maths. That's not happening. I'm not really saying that. I'm not saying anything about any sort of percentage because that's between you and God. In the New Testament, God says that we are to give everything to Him. So I'm expecting everyone to be giving 100% of your income to the church. You know, I'd like a little amen here and there. God's a God of grace. We are a people of grace. And I'm never, ever, ever going to sit here and say, this is what I expect from you. I expect 10%, and I'm going to check and make sure. You know, I heard of a church that got people's income tax receipts and looked at their income from the year and compared that to how much they sacrificially give to the church. That's abusive. That's not where we're up to. I don't want to know how much you give because it's between you and God. We are called to be generous. We're called to give to God what He deserves. You know what happens when we go into the shops in town? I go into Woolies and I pay my bill and they say thank you. Is that heartfelt? No, cashier doesn't care. I'm paying for what I owe. Where is the generosity come? It comes when I go to a coffee shop and the coffee costs me $6 and I give them 10 and I say, keep the change. That's when you get a thank you. When we're called to be generous, if we believe that God's calling us to give 10% out of what we earn as a base figure, then generosity is on top of that. If we pay for what we owe, where's the generosity in that? Where's the generosity in paying $6 for a coffee? Well, actually, coffee costs like $1 to make, but anyway, that's a story for another day. Where's the generosity in paying what we owe? The generosity comes in the excess of giving more, of making it a sacrifice. And what? How do we give a sacrifice? Hilariously. Being a joyful giver. So how do we be generous? We especially be generous with our wealth. We have so much. I know so most people here are on pensions and on retirement. I get that. You're actually still wealthier than most people in the world. People in the world earn minuscule amount of money to live on. We live in a society that is so wealthy. We have so much. We need to be especially generous with the wealth that we have. 1 Timothy 6 says, command those who are rich to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life with His true love, true life. To be generous with our wealth, but then not to be embarrassed by only giving a little. God's put us in different places. I hate the concept that if you're wealthy, God's blessing you. If you're poor, God's not blessing you. That's horrendous. God blesses us in different ways. And we need to be thankful and grateful for everything that God gives us, whether we're wealthy or whether we're poor. Don't be embarrassed if we can only give a little. Jesus honored the widow who only had a couple of coins to give. 2 Corinthians 8 says, For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not what according to what he does not have. Be generous with your house and your possessions. Are we generous with the things that God has given us? Are we generous with the property and the things that God has given us to be able to share with others? Be generous with your time and with your talents. Philippians 2, 5-7 says, wear your glasses when you read. Your attitude, I'm so grateful for my glasses. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. God's calling us to be generous with our time, with our talents, to not hold back on what God's calling us to do, but to be able to give generously and cheerfully to the kingdom of God. So some biblical examples. Firstly, Mary Magdalene and other women helped support Jesus and the apostles. Joseph, when Jesus died, was a wealthy man and gave Jesus his own tomb. Nicodemus supplied expensive spices for the burial. Priscilla and Aquila in Acts 8 invited Apollos to their home to tell him about Jesus. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, the Corinthians gave their money to help impoverished Christians in Jerusalem. And Philemon opened his home for church meetings in Philemon. There's so many examples of generosity. There's so many examples of sacrificial giving in the Bible. And that's not what we always read and remember. But that's what God's calling us to. So how do we bring joy into our giving? How do we bring a sense of hilarity to how we give to God? The first is to reflect on God's gift to us. God has given us so much. I love the Psalms that talk about, thank you God, you've given me this. Thank you God, thank you God, thank you God. And it's overwhelming, and it should be overwhelming. Because if we truly look to say, God, what have you shown us? What have you given us? Then everything we have is because of God's goodness. When we reflect on God's gifts to us, enables us to be able to say, if God has been good to us, then we can be good to others as well. Remind yourselves of his promises regarding generosity. God will bless us when we bless others. And if we want to pray to say, God, please help me to see how good it is to bless others, then please do it. Of course, there's the other side to that. You've got to bless others. But God wants us to be a blessing, and he has promises involved in us being generous. Examine our heart. What's our heart like? Is our heart truly devoted to God? Is God all? Are we 100% given to God? Or are we only giving God a few percent? Glorify God by being generous. If nothing else, our giving glorifies God and honours him. God is good, and we're to be able to show the community how good God is. 2 Corinthians 9:11. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. To close, I want to talk about Tom. Tom wrote a little story. And what he said was, while I occasionally threw some coins or some money in the offering plate at church, I did it more out of compulsion and guilt than any other kind of joy. My average contributions were probably 2 or 3% of my income. As a result, I didn't feel like I was meaningfully participating in God's work. Instead, I felt like I was appeasing a God who might get angry with me for stealing from him. Perhaps he showed mercy to me for my minimal effort. In the most extreme example of my life, I remember making a deal with God. I promised him that when I came to church on Sunday, he would have whatever remained in my wallet after Friday and Saturday night. That promise ultimately resulted in heavy spending on Saturdays and extra care when I got ready for church on Sunday morning by leaving the big notes on the dresser before heading out. Don't be like Tom. 2 Corinthians 9, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Let's pray. Father God, when we reflect on what you've given us everything. We reflect on what we have, you have been good. And Father, we're thankful for all that you've given us, and we're thankful for all that you will give us. Father, we have concerns. We have anxiety over money, about paying our bills, about what will happen. But Father, you are our God. We trust you. You go before us. You supply our needs. And Father, help us to learn how to be a blessing and to not just desire to be blessed. Help us to learn how to be a cheerful giver, to be able to give hilariously, to laugh as we're giving, to laugh as we're sacrificing for you. Father, help us to be a reflection of your goodness into the community. And Father, help us not to be hurt by being burned, but just to be able to enjoy being generous and to see your blessing come through. You are a good God. We are so thankful. All honor and praise and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.